Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Recent CSO figures have shown that about a third of all workers worked from home in 2022 for at least some part of their week here in Ireland. And the novelty of working from home has dissipated. We know it's becoming our new normality. But we're asking whether we're looking after our backs in all of this. And to that end, we have Derek Cawley back with us, spinal surgeon at The Mater Private. You're very welcome.
Thanks, Claire.
Why is it different for people working from home when it comes to their backs as opposed to working in the office?
The assumption is that because we work from home and we have poor chairs, poor couches, poor chaise longues, poor whatever, that that is directly a reason why we're developing back pain working from home. Of course, we've worked at desks for, 50 years. So there must be something else to it. And there is research since the COVID pandemic now starting to come out showing what's going on there. Certainly in large studies across the world, we have seen interesting results. So, for example, probably the biggest study from Sweden looked at 45,000 employees, showing that if you work from home, you have a higher incidence of self-reported health issues, including neck pain and back pain. Fine. Interestingly, from Switzerland, they showed that it wasn't necessarily the location of work that made the difference.
Okay.
It was prolonged time sitting at a desk was what was more likely to cause neck pain. And I would say that's true for back pain.
So we're not moving around enough is the problem.
So the question is why? And I would wonder, so granted, if you're working in an office, you got the commute, you got the photocopier, you got the water cooler, you got all that stuff that you don't have at home. I would wonder, and I don't know the answer, but I'd wonder, is it because we are more embedded in our work at home that actually we work better, less disruption, less noise, and that when we get into it, that as a consequence of that, we end up spending longer at sitting for a prolonged time? That has definitely been shown to be a bad thing for weakness of the hips and that predisposition, therefore, to wearing out your back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely the case for people who work in an office, not necessarily working from home. But we have to remember all of those people who do not work from home, but who are still stuck in that one position all day long, be it front of house, factory line worker, etc., who are sitting for a long time.
Like this farmer in his 60s who's sent us a message. I sit a lot on a tractor and I've pain in the two sit bones, and that pain then spreads down along my legs, and it can be bad on long car journeys as well. That's the same principle, isn't it?
It's the same principle, plus there's more. Certainly vibration in itself is a risk factor for farmers. Our farmers are getting older and are still doing the same work, and there's definitely a cohort there that are at risk from farmers. And then again, as you say, the prolonged sitting is definitely something. This time of the year, farmers are spending the entire day doing the mowing or the shaking or the whatever. Mm-hmm. So you can see why it's hard going.
I find when you come in here, I tend to sit up straighter, and I'm doing it right now. And I know, because I'm told, I'm supposed to have my feet flat on the floor. You're supposed to have your arms comfortably on the bars on the side of your chair. Do you subscribe to ergonomics and getting your seating position right? Does that matter as much as we sometimes think?
If you're asking me, the word is no. I don't buy into any of that stuff, because I get great descriptions of great looking chairs and Italian leather coverings and all that stuff. And ultimately, the problem is we are still spending the entire day sitting. A person might as well be sitting on a cardboard box. So while we need to recognise that, yes, we can improve those minor details of how we sit, we need to recognise that we have to take a break and stretch out and do our exercises. And that might mean doing our lunges or our squats or our what's known as our donkey kicks. And you know what? I'm starting to talk jargon now, and that listener might be saying, what's he talking about? But actually, it's time we started to talk about this. It's time that we started to educate ourselves about this. This is a huge problem for us as a westernized society. So we need to up the lingo here on how to address this through movement and stretching throughout our working day. It's very expensive for an employer to invest in big Italian leather chairs. It's not expensive to say 15 minutes mid-morning, 15 minutes mid-afternoon, here's your break to do that stretch, to do that walk, to do those exercises. That will protect your back.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying if you're listening to Derek this morning and you don't know what a lunge is and you don't know how to do a squat, go and find out.
Absolutely.
Because if you're doing those things and you're doing them incorrectly, they can be just as harmful as not doing them at all.
That is true. And that's where the supervision comes in, and physiotherapists are really good at that. I would say that's an upside, Claire. If you're working from home, you'd be able to do that stuff without too much resistance. There's probably a little bit of a social stigma if you're in an office and you start to do a happy baby pose in the middle of the office. So I guess we need to, as a society, recognise that this is something we need to do. Perhaps employers could create a breakout room where we could have a yoga mat or a gym ball and do a bit of a stretch. I think that's a good investment.
The break you were talking about, once in the morning and once in the afternoon, it's not that much, really, in the context
of how many hours
you would be sitting there.
Completely right. Agreed.
So it's not every hour. Sometimes you hear that every hour you should get up and do a couple of minutes of walking around.
You are correct. I would say that is the standard advice for it, and that's what we should be doing. But really, employers are probably going to say, "Hold on now, we're telling everybody start to take more breaks. That couldn't be good for productivity." But if you look at the other side, back pain is the leading global cause of disability. It is the reason why, for days lost from work, it is the most common musculoskeletal reason for days lost from work. We are in a society where this is increasing and increasing and increasing hugely. As opposed to if you take, say, the incidence of hip arthritis, which has gone up 1% in the last 30 years, back pain has gone up massively in that time. Mm-hmm. We know that for everybody that develops an episode of back pain, at least 2/3 of them are still going to have back pain 12 months later. So this is something that we need to talk about, need to start investing in.
I mentioned the CSO figures on working from home.
Sure.
We also learned more about our ageing population, an increase in 25% of people who are over 70.
Yeah.
So we need our backs to last for a long time.
That's a good point. And I would wonder, if you take that 70-year-old who I see on a regular basis, they may well have been more active in doing more manual jobs at that younger age, whereas the same person today who is 40 might not be as active as they are. So that's another reason why I expect the pathology here to increase and increase.
We've spoken about this before, that when you have back pain, it can be very difficult to motivate yourself to move. Mm. And I know you advocate for movement regardless of what's going on pain-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. So a person says to me, "Hold on, this happened to me because I was moving. And now you're telling me the treatment is movement? That makes no sense. But what happened originally was that movement was done in the context of a poor movement, of a muscular imbalance, of perhaps poor education on posture and lifting and moving. And all of that educational piece comes with the physiotherapy that they're now prescribed." So how do you join the dots up between that scenario, the back pain, and ending up in front of the likes of me, a spine surgeon needing spine surgery? Well, that progression starts with overusing one's back, and like a pepper grinder wearing out their L4, L5 disc. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they keep overusing their back and underusing their hips. That'll wear out something in their back, be it a disc, be it the joints, etc.
Underusing your hips, that is the problem that comes from sitting for too long, is it?
Because we sit on those muscles and we don't move them.
And the lunges and the squats that you mentioned and the stretching
are hugely important for strengthening the legs. Our backs are usually too tight. The last thing we need to do is strengthen our backs.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that all the time anyway, but we stretch our backs. That's really important.
Okay.
So strengthen the legs, stretch the back.
This listener loves working from home, but when you get into it without distractions, you can forget to get up. I've consciously made an effort to get up and move in the last few weeks, and it is helping. I have a lunchtime walk and an afternoon swim. Well, that sounds like a lovely life. I know I'm very lucky, but with a bit of effort, you can juggle it all. And it's not really about making a nice life for yourself, even though that's a good side effect. This is, you're saying, essential.
A lot of patients tell me that they've had so much advice from a lot of self-appointed experts. I would say that absolutely yoga, swimming, Pilates, cycling, running, doing what you enjoy doing is really good to maintain a healthy back. But that does not mean that is the treatment for somebody with a bad back. That bad back needs treatment. It doesn't necessarily need swimming and cycling and running. They're great things to help us protect our backs, but they're not a treatment for a bad back.
Okay, so you might need to get some advice to
Absolutely.
Get you started on this if you're starting from a position of pain, but if you're not, get moving.
Correct.
Derek, thank you very much. Good to see you.
Pleasure.
Derek Cawley, spinal surgeon at the Mater Private Hospital. And that's it for today. Thank you for listening. You can catch up with anything you missed on the RT Radio app. The programme was produced today by the series producer, Alistair McConnell, with help from researcher Kieran Dunn and broadcasting coordinator Stephen Higgins and all the team here, including Liam Mullen, who was on sound. Over now to Louise.